Lord, that you have placed in our hands, in our hearts, on our minds, in our lives. God, we just ask right now, God, that you would come in and teach us. Teach us, God, according to your word, by the Spirit of God. And God, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We are on page 35 this morning, y'all. Right there about the middle of the page. And it starts with, some people say that to talk about one's self as being spirit-filled is a form of spiritual pride. A form of spiritual pride. And let's not go any further, but just let's deal with that statement right there. Some people say to talk about oneself as being spirit-filled is a form of spiritual pride. It's a form of spiritual pride. And I want y'all input on that. I want your input on that because, you know, I when I read it, I looked back and I remember saying to myself, that I'm sanctified. Sanctified and Holy Ghost filled. That I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost is what we used to say. Right? Well, what was I doing there? Was I being prideful when I said that, or was I confirming the work that had already been done in my life? Was I being prideful?
Well, you didn't know what the word of God said. You know, we are to strive to. Well, he goes even further than that. The Bible, the Lord says that we're to be perfect, even as He's perfect. So we know the Lord is spirit filled, right? So being spirit filled is just going for that goal that God has set. Well, that's the bar. The bar is set up there
already
to be spirit filled. So now we know that there are. You know, it's just not a one time filling thing, too. You know,
true.
Empty
out.
It
can decrease.
You're right, because we still in a sinful world, and plus we still got sinful bodies. So we can do things to bring the level down.
Okay.
On our field of fullness, but now that's why we got to always go to the filling station here. That's why we come to Sunday school. That's what we do now. Brother Peter?
But, I believe that Amos was just confessing. But it turns into pride when you see the filling as a badge of honor. You see the feeling of something else.
Other.
That's when it becomes prideful.
Okay.
When I'm filled and you're not.
Okay.
So therefore, I have this badge of honor or some type of status. And I think that's when it becomes prideful.
So Pierce is saying, when I heap it upon myself, that it was something that was only done to me, exclusively for me. Then that's when it shifts from what God has ordained to pride. And what did God say? What did the Lord say about pride? What did He say?
It's a destination fall.
It's an abomination in His eyes.
Amen.
It always comes before a fall. So if we say that when we are spirit-filled, and we grasp it upon ourselves, then we are lifting ourselves only to be knocked down. Some people say that to talk about oneself as being spirit-filled is a form of spiritual pride. So let's be careful, y'all. And if you're going to use that, then let it be the confirmation. This is what I got out of it. Yeah. Let it be the confirmation of what God is doing within you. Let that be what it is. It says now, so the teaching that every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit does not stand on or fall on one's interpretation of 5:18. However, we are convinced that this verse does command every Christian to let the Holy Spirit keep filling him.
Amen. And that's the whole part, though. It's an ongoing thing, like sanctification. Mm-hmm. Sanctification is not a one-time thing.
Go ahead.
It's ongoing. It's a process. It's a cycle. We just continually are being sanctified, you know. And be sanctified means continually
to be sanctified.
Can
we say that it's the same process with salvation?
Salvation is not a continuous thing.
Huh?
It's one time thing, though.
It's one time thing.
Salvation.
Salvation is a one time thing. Okay. Over and over and over again. Well, there is some dispute. Well, let me not get before the lesson. Okay. Okay. 5:18. What does 5:18 tells us? I'm on page 35.
5:18.
Be not drunk with wine, as in with excess, but be filled by the Spirit of God. I may have paraphrased it a little bit, but we're close, right? However, we are convinced that the verse does command every Christian to let the Holy Spirit keep filling us. Let's talk about being this continual filling. This continual filling. Why do you think that we should have this continual filling? Pastor elaborated, okay, that there sometimes there is a diminishing. And because we walk into sin every day,
right?
We're right in the midst of it, and there are some that did. And don't think because you have the Spirit of God in you, this sinful world won't have an effect on you, huh? See, because you have not arrived at this point. We got to understand that. And as long as you're walking among men, you'll be walking among sin, huh? You're going to be walking among sin, so it's going to have an effect on you. Come on in, my brother.
Well, another thing. You got to think. What's
that?
Just say Pastor Dan, he was an Army Ranger in the Vietnam War.
Okay.
But he's been off the battlefield for these 60 years.
Okay? How many years?
60 years. And they throw him back on the field.
All of a sudden.
Afghanistan in modern day warfare.
Right.
So in other words, when we're not being continually filled, spirit filled, we're not preparing for the battle that may be ahead.
That's good.
The Apostle Paul was filled with the Spirit. We believe that, but that I think he would understand the fluctuation himself. You know, because he just got cussed the group out, and you call it a whited wall. You whited
wall.
That was curse
word at that time. Okay, let's go a little further. So teaching that every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit does not stand or fall on one's interpretation of Ephesians 5:18. However, we are convinced that this verse does not command every Christian to let the Holy Spirit keep filling him. Okay, you need to seek a second blessing. How are we going to do with what are we going to do with that? You need to seek a second blessing. Come on, Pierce. Come on in there. How are we going to deal with? Okay.
There's no second blessing to be had. Right.
Okay.
There's no second touch. There's no redo, because if it is, about the salvation of God.
So to say that I need to get it again means that I didn't get it the first time.
Right.
I didn't get it the first time. Something went wrong the first time. Yeah. Right?
And Amy, what they based that on, Barnes, is the fact that when Jesus healed that gentleman for one time.
With the eyes.
Yeah, and then he asked him, how did he see? And the man said, I see men as trees walking. Mm-hmm. And all said, you need a soul touch. So they based that up on that. So Jesus had to touch him again, and then he received his sight. But that ain't the same thing as the Holy Spirit.
Spirit.
Okay. Right.
Okay. That particular story, I'm going to ask you a question after this morning. Okay. Because it's a far from our lesson, but it's something that's in my spirit that I wondered about.
They draw off of that, though.
When they come with this statement that you need to go again. And easily one could assess that. Mm-hmm. That could be easily assessed. After Jesus told him, let's redo this. Okay. Followers of John Wesley, the Pentecostal and the charismatic believers, that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a dramatic experience that takes place sometimes after salvation. The Wieselands prefer to speak of it as entire sanctification, viewing it as the second work of grace in which the sin nature is removed and the Holy Spirit takes control. Pentecost and charismatic refers to it as a baptism of the Spirit, claiming that it is usually accompanied by speaking in tongues. I have never spoken tongues. Right? I remember trying one time. Y'all want my truth, don't you? I remember trying one time. I have seen people try to rehearse this with a person that did not speak in tongues, and they told them to. I've seen that happen. Go ahead, babe.
I've seen it happen in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They say, this is how you speak.
And they was trying to coach it along.
And that confused me.
Yeah.
How you going to teach me to speak in tongues?
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift from God.
Yeah, right. It's a gift from God. It comes from Him.
Right.
But how you going to teach
me? Can't do it.
Is it fair to say that we ran into some wrong teaching right there? And I've seen that. But then let's deal with whether you're saved or not saved based on whether you speak in terms or not, or speak in tongues or not. Let's deal with that. Right? I had a traumatic experience during salvation, and everybody don't have a traumatic experience during salvation, right? Not to say that you have to have a traumatic experience when the Lord touched you or when He saves you, right?
Everybody's not knocked off the horse, huh?
Like Paul was. Everybody. And that is not to say that in order for you to be saved, you got to get up on a horse, get knocked down, see the sun, see the bright light, right? And in other words, there is a one would attain that there must be a systematic system for being saved, and all of us should come up under that same umbrella when being saved, right? So to say that to speak in tongues is the qualifier for being saved, then I totally disagree because it did not happen to me. Now, you don't have to agree or disagree with me, right? Because you have to have your own experience. So how do we get to I'm saved and I did not speak in tongues when it happened? Because the Bible clearly states that this happened time and time again throughout the scriptures, or when one claimed that they are saved.
But not to everybody.
But not to everybody.
The experience didn't happen to everybody. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
See, the first evidence ought to be, well, it looks like somebody turned the light on.
True.
I mean, you was in darkness one moment. Now mm-hmm. the light is on. You see clearly. You see differently. You perceive things differently. And that should be the first. Tongues is a far-fetched way out of line somewhere. You know, you can't even bring that up to the fence there. You know,
that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. The fact that it didn't happen to everybody.
No, that's right.
That
that's
it
right.
didn't happen to everybody in yeah. the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it didn't throws that argument totally out the window. That it must happen in order to be saved.
And Paul asked, what do all speak in tongues?
That's right.
And the answer, of course, was no.
And what happened to the interpretation?
Yeah.
Okay. So they did without that, so it's kind of scripturally picky.
Yeah. Well, we can go even further than that. You can't leave out the tongues even without leaving out the other things that accompany tongues on Pentecost. Fire upon
it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So why are you going to take just the tongue? What about the fire? What about the other accompanied signs that went with it?
With it. The winds. The fire.
Right? Okay. Yeah, all kind of things. So why are you going to choose just
one
and not take the whole shoe match, you know?
Then why is it today, uh-huh. even today, and leading from that time up until today, yeah. why is that still the sign that is looked for to say that you're saved? Because I believe I'm looking at many of people in here, right, that did not have that experience.
Right?
So go ahead, man. Answer the question.
Big time lack of teaching.
Okay.
Who he is and how he operates.
That's right.
So that in each one of us are individuals. He deals with us individually.
That's the key. That is the key.
And if I, you know, like I say, we've been taught wrong a long time because, you know, a preacher used to tell me all the time, if, you know, if he say he in the spirit, he's been falling out, don't worry about his dress going up because if he's in the spirit,
just go stay
up.
Where, that's right.
Don't worry about him bumping his head.
That's right.
No. If it is the spirit.
Because it was saying that the spirit was covering them as they was under the authority of that spirit. But come on, honey. In something. Okay. So it gets back to what you said. And so it's a lot of wrong teaching.
Yeah, wrong teaching.
A lot of wrong teaching.
For a long time, yeah.
Okay, but I can't even think of the boy's name. Tony said that we are individuals, okay. Right? And God deals with us according to our makeup. He made us, right? He made us in his own image. And he knows our character. He knows the makeup of each one of us. And he gives us gifts according to that makeup. Right?
That's right. Amen.
Okay, I thought you was raising your hand. Okay. Okay, where were we? The problem with, we're on page 35 for those of you that just came in. under the heading of you need to seek a second blessing. Page 35. The problem with this view is that the New Testament never tells us to seek or anticipate a dramatic post-salvation experience. We are justified the moment we believe Romans 5:1, and we receive the new birth and the permanent indwelling spirit at the instant of salvation. There are many that will go against that passage of scripture. Right? But how do we believe in here? The moment we are saved. That's the question. And if that is the case, then do we need a second blessing? If that is the case, please. There is no second blessing. Let's set that in stone, Miss Montgomery. Let's go ahead and set that in stone right now. Either you got it at salvation or you did not get it. Set it in stone. Go ahead. Yes.
But you are already positioned the moment of salvation, and the Holy Spirit stays there in you.
Mm-hmm. Don't move. Never move. Yeah, that's right. You come from companion at that point. Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Come on.
And also, speaking about individuals, if you speak in tongues, seems like that's an individual private thing.
Mm-hmm. An individual.
God gives you the gifts of tongues. And he got a way.
Yeah.
He's got an order.
An order. So that's it.
Therefore, he said, let that be an interpretation.
Yeah, that's right.
But now, if it's for me, or you and you speaking tongue, then that more so to empower you. And that's a one-on-one with you and God.
That's right. That's
which
right.
That would be private.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
He can use that publicly, but it's going to be in the order.
But in the order.
Just say, do it.
That gets back to what Pastor said. Why did we just single out tongues and not all of the other things that came with tongues? Amen. Okay, it says, and we receive the new birth and the permanent indwelling spirit at the instant of salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Peter 1:22-23. True, we may have many wonderful experiences after salvation, and we may even have an encounter with the Lord that revolutionized our ways of life, but we have no biblical basis, y'all listen now, for expecting a second work of grace or baptism of power that brings instant holiness. Go ahead, Pastor. One time deal. Everybody.
So he was still confused. He still had a lot of pride in him and a lot of different problems, you know. But he was filled like everybody else on that particular day. You know? Yeah.
He was filled on that day, and it's pretty much like us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like right. I got it the day I got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But the completion of it had not taken place.
Yeah.
God gave it to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But did I? Was I flipped like a dime? Or was you flipped like a dime when you got it?
And we got to keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is so tender
gentle, you can grieve.
Grieve it. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine we grieve it quite often, you know.
Yeah.
And so now grieving, that's a setback in a way. It ain't a setback for a salvation concern.
No.
But it's a setback for his
growth.
You know,
maturity.
You know, conscious wise, yeah. You know you done grieved him. So that in itself caused you to say, well, hey, I got to climb back up this ladder a little bit. I got to get back in a closer relationship.
Right.
So there's a lot of setback, you know. I mean, that traffic light there, I felt like cussing that guy out of that traffic light.
Yeah.
You know, that's a setback.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't do it now.
Yeah. But you thought it. Like, but you thought it, Pastor. Was you guilty? You just as guilty as if you had hollered out the wonder.
It didn't have to come out my mouth.
Right.
It was just in my thoughts.
In your thoughts.
Okay.
Right. And where was the Holy Spirit then? He was right there. Come on. Yes.
Yeah,
The Holy Spirit inside you now began to deal with your messed up self. So don't think you got holy because
he said
holy. He said holy because by faith you believe what he said.
See, that's it.
But the process is on down the road and it's a lifetime. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit began to sanctify you. Mm-hmm. It's not the dress or the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
It is processing you out of you.
Yeah.
It's
saying.
Out of you. It's making what you like in sin, now you don't like. That's where the flip can come, but we have made pretenders, the church world, where people think I got saved, now I got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No,
you don't.
He moved on board to legally be your counselor.
Uh-huh.
To legally
criticize you.
Yes.
To legally break you, because he don't use nobody he don't break.
That's right.
So
a lot of breaking.
My mama did it. My dad. He break you where you start saying, It's me. It's me, Lord, standing in need of prayer. I didn't inherit this from that mama fight no more. She was for a while, but now it's me.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Holy Spirit comes in. He make you real before God. He's actually making you just like Christ so he can present you to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One day when you see Christ, you're going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going from glory to glory to God.
Amen.
You don't have it, stop pretending you have, but let him get on board and do the process.
Right. Yeah.
And you work with him.
Right.
Is that, Rosie, would that go along with the working out your salvation? Is that your working out salvation with trembling and fear? Why do I have to work it out with trembling and fear? Because I am going to exit on this journey somewhere. I'm going to step out of line somewhere on this journey, right? And I need to be careful. I need to be careful. Like she's saying, I'm going to step out there like I got it all right now. And I don't have it. I really don't have it. That's where the fear and trembling comes in at. Because God going to put you right back in step. Come on, Ann.
You are still incomplete. He's making you whole as you go.
As you go,
he shows you yourself. And you, the more he shows you, the more you want to read, Lord, to see what is it I need to be fixing. So I just thank you for that.
For showing you.
Yeah. And we just appreciate it. You know, it's kind of like, I kind of see it in a way like, the Lord, I'm living in a $500 million mansion right now.
Right now.
But the Lord holds them all.
Yes.
It's mine, though. I mean, on paper.
It's yours.
And he done told me that he ain't going to take it from me.
Mm-mm.
But he got the mortgage.
He got the mortgage.
Now, I'm showing my appreciation to him.
Continuously.
I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the house.
But now he still got the mark.
He got the mark.
So I love him and I appreciate him so much.
Uh-huh.
That I'm going to do my best to please him. I ain't afraid I'm going to lose the house. But I'm just gracious.
Gracious. Your gratitude. It's your gratitude for how he gave you the house and entrusted you with the house.
Yes.
So now you know you got to walk in step.
I'm not afraid I'm going to lose.
No. You got to walk in step, right? Not for the house, but for him.
For him.
I got you.
Yes.
Oh. Miss Rosie. Miss Rosie. Is that a challenge? Is that a challenge? Huh? Is that a challenge? I mean, 24 hours a day. Is that a challenge? Do y'all know the enemy is going to try? The enemy will try you in your sleep. Huh? Do you know that? Right. That's why you got to go to bed with the Holy Spirit, talking to him, because what she said, right? That you're gonna be challenged in this walk, right? And that's why God gave you him.
The thing in that is that you know that you're secure though.
In him.
Yes, I've got to live a certain lifestyle here. But I'm not afraid that I'm gonna be cast out because I do make a come short sometimes. But it makes me more motivates me to want to do my best though. See, and they said teaching like this once saved always saved thing cause people to be slack in their relationship with God. But I don't believe that.
It encourages it. It's encouraging.
And it hurt me when I don't live up to it.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
When you do. Detour.
Okay. Okay.
Right. And I know y'all ain't never detoured. Okay. But when you do detour.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That grieving.
Yeah.
See, you ain't got to ask God, did I grieve you? If you got him, you don't have to ask, Lord, did I do wrong? Did I grieve you? Right. See, and then he'll come back and say, lift up your head, O ye gates. See, because because you, when you grieve him, I'm finna get out of here, y'all. Y'all finna make me get too emotional. It's coming back from when you grieve God. Now you got to climb back up the ladder. You got to climb back up this ladder, right? But you climbing it up with your head down. And then God said, lift up your head. Huh? You still belongs to me.
Even after salvation, we have our prodigal son moments in some way or another. And we keep on saying that I'm not worthy. And he said, bring the patty cake.
Yeah.
And the Lord keep on saying, set the table up. And he said, I ain't worthy. The Lord said, keep on bringing. Let's have a party.
But James Dansby, that's where the fear comes in. The fear of the Lord comes in because you know you messed up. Now he's ordering the party for you. Now, I don't know which way to go. But I'm right here now, Lord. I need you to help me right here, Lord. Right here. I was wrong. Now my head is down. And I look over there. Now he got a party coming. A ring and a robe. They done put up. They done started the fire for the care. And for me.
For you.
Come on, my brother. Put him out.
And they say that.
Yeah.
Because we know he's full, rich in grace and mercy, but it's his.
Mm-hmm. It's his. There it is.
And you only get it if he wants you to. So that fear and trembling is very important.
Very
we
important.
Go through this life. Our spiritual life is done in fear and trembling. Not scared.
No.
Not afraid, though. But we just love it so,
so
much.
So, wait a minute.
We don't want to disappoint.
Boy, don't make me throw this bench.
Model was set up in us before we were saved.
That's right. That's
the worst,
right.
The worst thing I wanted to do was disappoint my mother. Well, that hurt me so bad. When I did something, I said somebody called and said that I did this here. Oh, I tell you, that really hurt me. The way she looked at me, and because I know she done worked hard. She done slaved over the mountain in them folks' houses, and she looked at me and said, "Son, you know I'm doing the best you can. You know I ain't got nobody but me."
That took
me out.
Yes,
we can ship that over to the Lord. Yeah. Also, too, it's a fixed deal. Uh-oh. See, it was fixed when God saved us.
Yeah.
Because he gave us his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So now you weren't even conscious that you could read. Because you ain't know nothing about the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's
so
right.
When God saved you, he put
his Holy Spirit in you.
And David used the analogy as like this here in Psalm, that the steps of a good man is
ordered. Already ordered.
So now he's knowing good, but the law. Right. So he put the third part of his trinity in us when he saved us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. That's why he said steps. See, we got a destiny. We got a purpose to go to. And God ordering out every step. And this process that we go through, we learn to love it. We learn to depend on it. We learn to trust it. But it's through our trials and tribulations and problems that we can look to him. But now, it was a fixed fight. It was already fixed when God saved us. When God came into our heart and placed his Holy Spirit in us, then he gave us everything to meet him again. And when we do see him, we're going to be just like him. But he gave us everything that we'll ever need.
That's right.
To go the distance he called us to go.
Amen.
To get to heaven, our destination.
Amen.
Y'all done messed me up. I'm just. But the journey. It's the journey. It's the journey, y'all. And we've got to do our best to monitor ourselves on the journey. Y'all done messed up everything now. We ain't got nowhere in the lesson.
Okay, but we have, I think we got there, but we have no biblical basis. Okay,
Ooh, Lord. But we have, I don't even see none of that, but we have no biblical basis for expecting the second work of grace or baptism of power that bring instant holiness. Rather, Paul called us to present, literally, keep presenting your body a living sacrifice, and to let the Holy Spirit keep filling you. That's Romans 12 and 1 and Ephesians 5:18. They empty themselves.
So God fills us so that we can empty ourselves. So you got to go back for another filling, ain't you? If you're doing what God called you to do. Huh? If Brother Herbert up there with all them 100,000 students he has sometime when we in full operation, and he come home, he's exhausted.
He done emptied everything. Another feeling.
You
got to empty out.
I know you've done it before. Amen.
You trying to get in there, Brother Pierce?
Oh, no.
Okay. Why do God tell us to continue to keep presenting ourselves? Why is God telling us to, in Romans 12 and 1? Why is he telling us to continue to present ourselves?
Presenting is a form of sacrifice.
Okay.
We constantly present ourselves. We bring ourselves up to the Lord. If I present you and the Lord, I've brought you. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, I've brought it to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We constantly present ourselves to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we can stop doing that.
We.
Mm-hmm. And once we stop doing that, we're then being led by ourselves and not God.
And that's the problem with that one time teaching. That thing will be for a while.
Uh huh.
You know, bam, you did it one time and you set. You know, and that was big time teaching.
Uh huh.
But that's not true though. You know, so you can see why the Lord, you know, directs us to know that it's a continual, you know, feeling.
So as I continue to get feel, I need to continue to present.
Right.
If it was right. A constant war,
okay.
We wouldn't have to.
Oh, okay. If it was
true.
A constant
true.
War.
That's good. That's good.
A
yeah.
Constant. Struggle.
Uh-huh. Because of where we are, where the
yeah.
way we live, how we live.
Yeah.
The environment that we live in.
Right, right. And Abel, if nobody else in the world but you,
mm-hmm.
it's still
be a struggle.
Because the crook is in the house.
it's come on.
Some people speak and present your members
as yes. members of righteousness. Of unrighteousness.
So you're constantly coming to God with the refilling of the Holy Spirit.
Good.
And you're pouring out, the cup is getting full, you come down,
you
pour
more
in you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're presenting, you're going to present to somebody.
Yeah.
Either you're presenting to righteousness
or
you're presenting to unrighteousness.
One
or
two, right.
So when is it fair to say that in the our presenting ourselves unto the Lord, is that he might, can that be like a service station?
Oh.
Huh? So what, I got to keep coming presenting myself so he could continue to feel or to refill me. That's what.
In other words, like Mama used to say, come here, baby, I ain't seen you all day. I see you.
And you know.
Hug me.
Uh-uh. She going to read. My mama wanted to read you. She didn't just want to hug. She would hug you and make sure you was all right.
Yeah,
but my mother could see some things
that
you didn't want her to see. Right?
She read through you. Brother.
Go ahead.
Lord just want to warn us about something. He'll warn us when we present ourselves to him. He'll show us something that's coming ahead that we might need to be looking out for.
Yeah.
So that present thing, of course, is for the fit. But a lot of times, it can be to keep you from something dangerous.
Yeah.
So we need to continue. We missed that presenting. We're not warned about what's coming right here up the road.
Right, but it could be that too, Tony. But then it could be just that he just wanted to love us.
Love us.
Right. He just wanted to hug us. He wanted to know that we still got a love thing going on.
Amen.
Here. And you ain't getting cold in your face.
Yeah.
Need.
Okay. Yes. And go on. Presenting
your righteousness and him filling you again.
Praise
but
the Lord.
Then he set off the discernment that every Christian calls that
ought to have.
Right.
That's good, that's good.
Discernment that, it's like some of our discernment, we all should desire to have a strong discernment. Because some of our discernment is AM and it ain't FM.
Explain that, Pastor.
Your reception ain't real
ain't good.
You can miss a lot of things that are right in your midst.
Right.
And that's why we need to grow in.
In.
I mean, discernment today, especially today.
Today.
God, we walking through the land now. For sure. And we need to know whether the bomb's not strapped on, you know. But that comes through discernment. exercise in our sense of discernment.
Another presentation. Did not, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong. In Job's one, did not the sons of God present themselves unto God? Is that correct? I am correct. Okay. And that meeting, from one's perspective, could be the warning that someone spoke about, because he was allowing them to see that the enemy would be at this meeting. And he wanted to point him out, right, so they could see that he was there. So there are many reasons why one should continually to present themselves of their bodies before the Lord as a living sacrifice. Okay, we're on page 36. How much time we got here? Let's slice into it anyway. Understanding the controversies of the Spirit, part two. Two wrong answers. Anyone who reads widely or listens to many preachers will soon discover the conflicting answers are given to the question, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's evaluate two wrong ideas that are being circulated today. The Bible does not command us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's deal with that one first. Does the Bible command us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Then, yes, sir, it does. Then why is that a conflict? Why is it a conflict? Go ahead.
They get confused. They really don't understand. There's a lot of people in church out to say that don't understand.
Right.
That's why there's a problem.
Right. And then they relate the Holy Spirit feeling and the Holy Spirit period to doing crazy things.
Yes.
You know, hanging from the chandeliers, running around the church, which is just an emotion thing. Yeah. That's what that is. That's all emotion.
So emotionalism and
Okay. It's just that you mean you ain't got no control of yourself.
Okay.
You jump up on the man's chandelier, you know. That means you need to get you down off of it. But that's the feeling that the means that have gone wrong with being filled. You do crazy things.
Okay. Okay. We had that conversation before you came in, Chuck. And so you're not saying that is deemed the Holy Spirit, that reaction or that response. That's what you're saying. That's flesh. That is the flesh. Just go on and tell the truth about it, babe. Just go ahead on and just tell the truth.
You don't have.
Go. There it is. There it is. Anything. Decent and in order.
So when things go looking out of order, your antennas ought to go off. Amen. And a little self mixed with the Holy Spirit is a dangerous thing. Huh? I mean, he say he in the spirit, but if you run up and hit you, you
yourself on. I can't say the Spirit told me to knock you one past. Something.
Something been added to the word of God here.
Amen. Taste. You see.
Never. But it's exciting, though, Rose.
It's
exciting to know that people are falling. You know, he just.
And it gets my emotions on high key.
It's exciting, though. I mean, it's drunk. It's dramatic. Right. And it draws a crowd because people go for the flair and the dramatics, you know. They go, you know, they go for that, you know. But the Holy Spirit is altogether different
from that.
Yeah. In the churches where they be having your head. I mean, this is like almost breaking your neck because it happened to me.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, we all been in places like that once or twice.
They were.
They had classes on new member classes where they were teaching how to speak in tongues.
Yeah, right.
And to me, is why do you have to teach a person to speak in tongues?
It's not. Amen.
But that's how far we've gotten away from the Word of God.
The Word of God.
He's staying in the framework of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's going to tell me that he's going to handle me a snake, and they're going to prove whether or not I'm in the Spirit, I'm going to hand him the rubber off my shoes. I'm going to tell him out of it. It ain't in the Bible that, you know. But the people, it's amazing how far we go from the Word of God. And simply because... The Holy Spirit does not, it's not dramatic like that. The Holy Spirit is gentle.
Gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's not for the flare, you mm-hmm. know, a little leaven gonna mess the whole loaf up. A little flesh mixed up with anything.
Right.
It messes up completely.
The Holy Spirit loves.
Amen.
Yes. It comes to you softly.
They
speak to you softly.
Mm.
Okay, let's deal with this question. I think we're going to close after this question right here, this statement here.
Okay.
The next statement states that some Christian leaders do not emphasize the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop right there. Some Christian leaders do not emphasize the filling of the Holy Spirit. They do not emphasize the filling of the Holy Spirit. We just discussed and studied that there is a filling of the Holy Spirit. Can you answer the question as to why you think the reason they are not emphasizing and are not teaching the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit? Go ahead, Brother Pierce.
It's been a
a fault.
So we as teachers have lacked the emphasis of the filling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a forgotten God.
That's good. That's good.
We're led by the Holy Spirit, and we have to emphasize the filling of Him to understand how we grow, how we walk daily in the Spirit. But the lack of that teaching has left us really destroyed by that knowledge.
And I understood. I didn't really believe that Bruce came and talked to me about the Holy Spirit. I didn't really believe that they didn't believe in a Holy Spirit, so to speak. But they wanted to know how I react to the Holy Spirit.
That's what it
was. We're not going to turn St. James into a three-ring circus. You know, I mean, we're going to, you know, be running up and down the aisles and all that, because they wasn't accustomed to a lot of that, I guess, you know. But there are some people that basically just don't believe the Holy Spirit. Some whole denominations don't depend on the Holy Spirit, period, for anything. That's a great travesty, that, by
itself. Pastor, they didn't want you to turn the church into the tent meeting. Okay, the tent meeting that was in the parking lot.
I would hate to think that they didn't believe that in the Holy Spirit altogether. I gave the benefit of the doubt. And I definitely want to believe that they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, he wanted to know whether I was one of those, up and down the aisle preachers going to be running and touching people. You know, I want to believe that's what he really
that's what he meant. Could it be the reason that they're not emphasizing the filling of the Holy Spirit is because they have not experienced it, or they don't have it themselves? They themselves don't, or is not acquainted, or know of, right? That's what the question was asked, what Paul asked the question. Charisma, their own charisma.
From that angle, you know, instead of the Holy Spirit, they have charisma.
Yeah.
You know, and their ability to put on programs and arrange things. Now they got the light show, they got the lights, and you got the loud music, and you got enough to drive. You know, and that's too much for us that believe in the quietness of the Holy Spirit. That drives me up the wall. That's just too much going. That's too much business that's going on at the time. Yeah, you know.
That's okay. That's good. I'm listening to you, because let me piggyback on that.
Okay.
I often say, when you know, in my learning and coming to God, when I think in terms of the charisma of different ministers, and I've said this forever, that their charisma might draw people, but it's going to take the Holy Spirit to keep them. That them being all charismatic and flamboyant and all of that, the gift of gab and all of that might draw them. But it's going to take this spirit that we're talking about today to keep them there, because they'll come in and then they'll go out.
For two,
a year or two.
Another car.
Uh-oh.
I want that one now.
You finna jump now. You got to keep it. Let us close out right here, okay? We're going to come back to page 36:1, and we'll go from there. Bow your heads, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you now for another opportunity.